Hello, and welcome to the Real Estate Marketing Masters Mix podcast, where each episode we share actionable strategies for amping up your real estate marketing game. And now, here's your host, Dave Cole.
And we welcome you into this edition of our podcast. I'm Dave Cole, joined as always by our social media whiz, Scott Winroth.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for welcoming in as usual. And yeah, exciting show today. We got lots of cool stuff to talk about. So what is the article of the week?
All right. The article of the week is, there are actually a couple of versions of the story and some of the media picked up on it. And it's about, once again, with people leaving California, but it's to buy real estate in homes and move to, or at least buy real estate in other parts of the country. And Bloomberg, of all sources, getting on almost like the bandwagon for Boise, Idaho, and also Reno, Nevada, mentioned in the headline. There's some talk of some of the towns, such as a couple of them in Arizona, where it's smaller towns. And what happens is that people in California, or parts of California, and especially toward the Bay Area, San Francisco, continues to be among the top two or three highest priced or most expensive places to live in the country. And sometimes people just go, hey, for half or even one third of the price, they could have a lot more home. It's just that they're in a totally different location and doing the, you know, moving out to the small town part of it. And so this has happened a few times over the years. I personally lived and worked in Los Angeles for about 8 years, years ago. So, I mean, this goes back even to the 90s and before, and it's almost like a reverse gold rush type thing where certain communities, and I know Seattle and Portland, bigger cities have, I don't know, from this, but to some people they do, to people that have been able to sell their homes in these communities for probably much higher than they would get on a local basis. But to people coming from California, they're looking at it as maybe twice the house for less than half of the price. So it's just an interesting trend. It's going on again. And something that I wonder about is, it's kind of a, what starts this? That all of a sudden, there's this significant increase in home sales, let's say in a Boise, Idaho, from Northern California, and that's fine, but is it that somebody's marketing from Boise, somebody with a lot of connections does this and wants to get their friends and gets people over? It's just been an interesting point as to kind of what triggers this, and then how does it get the media's attention, and who all is involved. And you know what's got that actually, besides being an interesting story for those reasons, it ties in with our topic today, where we want to talk about how you reach or alert people to yourself, your services, to your brand, I guess to use the more modern term. How do you alert people to you, your brand, and yourself when they don't know you? And so I think this kind of ties in. So Scott, mm-hmm. I know you've got some things on that.
Yeah, for sure. I also think too, just to kind of, before I jump into that, the idea of like sort of people scaling down from the big cities into smaller areas, I think is actually something where I personally think will be definitely a trend as business and doing business online becomes even more and more easier and popular. I know a lot of companies are sort of going for like a distributed or remote workforce where you could live anywhere in the world potentially and, you know, work for that particular company. So why live downtown, or why live in a really expensive market when you potentially could live in have much more of a house, much more property for less money, and then just dial into work every day on your computer. So I could see where, although I think big markets are desirable right now, I could see that the trend is potentially going back out into to both aspects. But that being said, yeah, really great segue into how do you draw people to you when they know nothing about you? How do you sort of build visibility for yourself? And this is obviously one part of a many, many part equation in terms of digital marketing and digital strategy. But I thought it would be good just to kind of have a conversation about how it works. I know on the way in this morning, I was driving down Lakeshore Drive, and there's there's a bridge that goes over, a pedestrian bridge that goes over near LaSalle Street. And on there was a banner that someone posted with a website address, right? It was kind of like a rogue advertisement placement, right? And it kind of buckles into sort of what I want to talk about. You know, obviously you have to build awareness. You have to build attention for what you're doing. Obviously I don't recommend putting a billboard or a banner on a public piece of property that you're not allowed to do. But if you think about it, that banner is driving awareness for that particular website. All the cars that are driving by it are seeing who they are, and ultimately seeing the website address that sparks interest into, you know, made me want to go online just to see who they were. And that's sort of kind of the concept that I want to get at. How do you essentially draw that initial click or that initial spark to be like, oh, hey, this person sells real estate, or hey, this person does this. And that's the very, very, what we would call top of funnel type marketing strategies. So if you were to think of the traditional marketing funnel, where you have awareness building activities that sort of go down into them becoming a client, or your potential ideal prospect, or your prospect becomes a client through the funnel, this is what I would call top of funnel, or the very beginning of a marketing strategy. Now, obviously, I'm a digital guy. I'm a social media guy. So for me, although billboards and print advertising and all this stuff are fine mediums if you can afford them and if they're part of your particular strategy, but for me, I use opportunities such as Facebook ads or Google ads to sort of build that top of funnel awareness. And the cool thing about these particular programs is that, let's say you are the potential real estate office or the home builder in Boise, Idaho, you could use Facebook targeting to reach homeowners or potential people who live in certain geographic areas of other markets. So I could go onto the Facebook ads platform, and I could target people who live in Los Angeles, or I could target people who live in higher metro areas, and then create video ads or create picture ads that target people who live in those areas and that drive that first initial impression about what we're doing and what we're trying to sell, right? So that's sort of like that billboard on Lakeshore Drive. If I can sort of get in their eyeballs for 1 second, then I can potentially start to drive interest about what I have to offer. Hopefully they'll click through that banner ad, or hopefully they'll click through that advertisement that we put out there, maybe watch the video, learn about what we have to offer, and then at the end of that, click through to our website to become a lead or to find out more information about what we have to offer to them. Now, this obviously scenario where someone sees your ad, immediately clicks, and comes to your website to buy or opt in or become a client is sort of the ideal scenario. It doesn't usually often happen that way. Sometimes Facebook and Google will say it takes anywhere from 4 to 8 times for someone to see your ad to take action, to do something that would drive them away from the platform. But I know these type of strategies are definitely becoming really, really sophisticated with new computer algorithms that sort of make it really easy to target the right people. And once you get them dialed in, once you've spent a little bit of money and Facebook and Google can learn about who really is your ideal client, then it will, or who is really going to be more likely to convert into a lead, then the actual computer algorithms will take time to find those type of people, find like people that will be interested in what you have to offer. And that's a really powerful way to basically build that initial first handshake, especially when you can couple it with video or content or anything like that, that really can sort of tell your story in a way that you can't necessarily tell on a traditional billboard or in a print ad or anything like that. So Dave, yeah, I mean, does that sound like something that makes sense for real estate?
Yeah, it absolutely does. And probably an even more effective example, rather than, hanging a banner where it shouldn't be hung, yeah. A better example are what are called bandit signs. And I'm sure a lot of you have seen this, enjoying the podcast around the country. And what a bandit sign is, it's those little, like, kind of like cardboard signs, oftentimes handwritten, that you see on street corners and sometimes on vacant lots or vacant properties where they're just put into the ground. They could easily pulled out. In some communities, they're not legal, but they're not illegal. It's just kind of that, you know, common ground. And even if they're up there for a few days, they can do the trick at a busy intersection or a place where enough people can see them. And you will see oftentimes they're regarding investment real estate. So you will see these, you know, real estate investor needs trainee, or earn $10,000 a month in your spare time. And you go, yeah, right. But, and there are some real estate investors who are not licensed agents that do this as a way to generate people who are interested in working with them. I know in a couple of cases, it's kind of a way to sell these thousands of dollars of educational programs to become a real estate investor. On the other hand, I actually know of some of the licensed agents that work with investors and or are investors themselves that will actually use these signs. And I've actually had some licensed agents say they have gotten leads from those signs. And so where they'll put in something about, you know, real estate investing, or the, you know, we buy homes in this area, and they'll name the community and put the sign right there. And in talking to one of the agents that did this and actually got a solid lead that turned into a transaction from that sign, he felt that the reason that he got that call off of a bandit sign from somebody that became a client was literally it's the location, location, location where that sign was. It was on a kind of like what you would call a well-traveled secondary street where you kind of had to know the neighborhood to know that would be a good location for that sign. Somebody passing through wouldn't necessarily think that it was. And so we probably all know places like that where it's maybe something that leads to shopping, or it's one of those shortcuts you take off the main road, but a lot of important people see it, or it's leading in toward an upscale development, that type of thing. And that's what he thought. So that there are ways that it applies more to real estate. And another point, Scott, I think would be good for maybe, you know, kind of touching on is in both of the examples that we gave, and they both have their place, and there are others. This is also kind of introducing or getting the word out based on what you do or what your company is, as opposed to who you are. So as far as personal branding, so we have basically two different ways that you can, you know, use some type of a technique like this to be able to reach people who know nothing about you.
Absolutely. So, I mean, and I'm not necessarily advocating to put banners or to put signs up outside, although if that's your strategy, go for it. But for me, it's like you can sort of do the equivalent of that with Facebook advertising or with Google advertising, reaching people who potentially are maybe not looking for, but maybe have the intent or have the resources for using your type of services, or if anything, explain to them why you provide the competitive advantage should they need a particular opportunity to move to a new place or whatever. And I know it can be questionable whether or not Facebook lead ads are good or bad. Obviously, what's most important is that I would recommend everyone at least give it a try and then start small. So, you know, decide on a particular campaign that starts small, target a particular area, and see if the traffic is going to provide you qualified leads for your type of business. And speaking of training, I know you mentioned training, but maybe not in a good light, but if people are interested in learning more about sort of digital marketing strategy or top of funnel ideas, Please, I hope they consider going to scottwinteroth.com/DAC for digital acquisition cycle. And on that web link, I'll have lots of information on how to learn more about the digital acquisition cycle and how you can leverage this strategy to help start to grow your following online. And if anything, attract more business and learn how people learn, have it so people can learn more about who you are, what you do, and build that initial digital handshake so you can generate a lead and give them a call. It's a really powerful strategy when you sort of optimize the entire process. But you have to go into it with your eyes wide open because you are spending, it's advertising. So you're spending money and you want to make sure that you are optimizing in the way where you spend less and gain more. So obviously your return on investment or your cost per acquisition is right. So you make sure you don't overspend and you create the most abundance possible. So yeah, so I hope that if anything, that those sort of banners on the bridges or bandit signs sort of give you the idea that, yeah, obviously you can go and do stuff like that to generate visibility for yourself. But you have to do stuff. You have to do things that basically get in front of people's eyeballs. And that is anything from banners to digital ads to social media posts to other things that basically say, hey, I'm here. I exist. Now, if you are in a need of home buying or selling some other real estate type need, then check out my website. And then when you are ready for it, come over and call me because I'm the guy. I'm the guy or gal who does this the best. So yeah, that's kind of just the initial sort of first part of the funnel, the top of funnel strategy. The next part would be to get them to come to your website to convert into a lead. So maybe they leave their information, or they initiate a home search, or they initiate a home evaluation, and then hopefully at that point they have left their contact information, like their name, their phone number, and their email address, so you can reach out to them to get the sale done or get the client acquired. So yeah, so that's sort of the wrap up of my particular top of funnel strategies. Dave, any insights on anything you would do differently?
Well, not differently, but just as another route mm-hmm. for this. This was a few years back. I was doing some campaigns for mortgage lenders, and this does have a bearing for agents and so forth. It's the concept. Was working with a mortgage lender that specialized in loans for, VA Veterans Administration loans. So would work with people in the military because there are special loan programs, mortgage programs for members of the military because of their service. And so I worked, put quite a bit of work into a specific proposal based on the parameters that this guy in his office wanted to do. And it turned out that he turned it down and then explained that he thought that what I'd provided was an excellent proposal. But what's interesting, what I want to tell the story, is the reason that he turned this down, he decided to stick with what he was already doing. What he would do is, it had so happened within the past couple of months at the time that we were talking, there had been a military action, and where there was something that had been in the news and had a name. And just for the sake of this discussion, Scott, we'll use Desert Storm as the example, where there are, you know, I hate to say nicknames, but like names given to a particular military event, people know where it is and what's going on. And there was something like that on a smaller scale. So what this Veterans Administration mortgage lender did was he bought keywords related to that particular military situation. So it would be like buying anyone that would search Desert Storm, using that as the example, since more people are familiar with that. And he might do something like, you know, Iraqi war, or, you know, things like that that are associated. And his thinking was, when he initially tried this, was that someone looking for that type of information and doing a search and going in depth, chances are they had some interest or probably involvement with the military. They're looking at, where is this? Is it towards somebody I know where I might be going? And sure enough, by buying those keywords, which have nothing to do with real estate, with home buying, with mortgages, with anything else that he actually did. He was pulling in enough leads from around the country. This was a nationally available program, and he had representatives around the country. He was pulling in enough solid leads from around the country that he decided he did not need this additional marketing plan that he thought he might, you know, a couple of months earlier on. So that is probably an example more fitting to what you were just talking about. And again, it's maybe to find that topic that relates to your specialty. So if you, you know, represent, you know, it may be something with, you know, I don't know, condos or a particular community that's within your farm area, or something happens, or it could even be that there's, you know, the local school wins some type of an award in a certain category. Maybe they have the number one, you know, dance team or something that's a little bit out of the ordinary. Maybe to buy local search where people are looking for dance information. It's, you know, I guess that's the theory that, you know, based on this example and what we're talking about, Scott, I think something like that is good for watching for those kinds of things and maybe something to try to get across.
Absolutely. I mean, keeping an eye out for opportunities is the biggest thing, because I think, you know, especially with the web, like your example, also the people going after the, going back to our very original example of the people targeting people in California to move to Boise and other areas, is just opportunity. You're mining for opportunities. And a lot of times, especially when it comes to advertising on Facebook or advertising on Google, if you're sort of the first to move on that particular keyword, you're probably going to have a lot lower cost per click than you would if you are the 10th, right? Or the fifth or the third, right? So you want to make sure you get in when the opportunity is right. It's, I mean, sort of a principle of most business opportunities, but you want to get in there first. You want to get in there fast. And using an eye, like you mentioned, the ideas with the VA loans and with the other stuff is one way to just keep an eye out there to be the first to market. Because obviously advertising in terms like real estate agent in Schaumburg is going to be much more expensive than going after stuff that's not. Unfortunately, there's also like the, you have to cross-reference that with the context, right? So people looking for Iraq or, you know, Desert Storm, there's only like maybe potentially a 50% chance that they are a veteran, or and or less of a percent of a chance that they are someone who actually needs your type of mortgage, right? So your actual, you might get a lot of clicks, but only 10% of those people are ideal clients. And that might be all you need, because depending on the markup or depending on the cost per acquisition, if it's only a dollar or two, it might be okay. But you make lots of money on that particular loan, then it might be okay to advertise that way. But if you're spending money on, for example, someone searching on Google for real estate agents in your market, and the cost per acquisition is $23, $24, again, that might make sense, because you might get only a handful of clicks, but 90, you know, that would be great. 80 or 90% of them actually turn into clients, because they're actually people looking for that type of service. So it's a crapshoot. You kind of have to decide which one is going to be best for you. I highly recommend testing both, and really sort of setting aside a budget setting aside a portion of your business budget and or your marketing budget for testing new opportunities, because you never know which one you land on that could be the winning strategy for you. And that's what I'll wrap up with. Dave, anything else?
Yeah, just we'll pick up on that point a little bit, that I think it goes along with one of the things that I use in presenting the workshops for agents when you're dealing with a property and so forth. And that's my saying of try to buy what you are trying to sell. And I will suggest that, okay, you're listing a, you know, 3-bedroom, 2-bath ranch home for $250,000 in the, you know, the town of Springfield, then before you put up whatever, you know, information and photos you're going to, go on the different sites like that's what you are trying to buy and see what else is out there, so you can see how the property you're involved with can better compete. And I think that's a good theory that applies to finding the right keyword or finding the right spot that, again, using that, you know, military example, to go on and search for terms that relate to what you do as opposed to being just another real estate agent and see what you do or don't come up with. If you come up and go, oh, there's four other agents that are doing this, well, you could see what their marketing angle is or what they've done and try to outdo them, or just move on and find another topic. That just may depend on the type of property or what your strategy is and whoever's competing with you, but at least to go in knowing that, and your strategy may be to find, you know, keywords that you could spend 50 cents or a dollar on and kind of sift through a bunch of leads and at least create an awareness, as opposed to getting that specific person that's actually ready, not considering buying or selling, but ready to buy or sell. So yeah, I would just say to kind of, you know, you can do your own research, and even as you're, you know, sitting on your phone waiting for your, you know, your lunch to be served or whatever the case might be, to start going into some keywords that you're thinking about and seeing what's there. That can often get you an idea of what you do see or don't see.
Mm-hmm. For sure. For sure.
All right. So I guess that, let's wrap this up. And hopefully very interesting to the listeners as this was for us to bring up all these examples and so forth. And actually, there's a lot more on this topic, because it's not only the, what to do to for people that know nothing about you, but it's also additional ways to be able to do that. So we'll pick up on that in the future. So, Scott, thank you very much. And that's a wrap for this edition.
Thank you for listening to the Real Estate Marketing Masters Mix podcast with Dave Cole. Be sure to visit our website at davecole.com for more episodes with actionable strategies and to subscribe to future episodes. Please consider leaving a 5-star review and sharing this podcast with someone who would benefit from this content. Thank you, and see you next episode.